Good afternoon, everyone. As already stated, my name is Samantha Francois, and I work with the Louisiana Public Health Institute. And this afternoon, I'm going to share with you some work that my organization partnered with the local health department to create an index of youth safety at the neighborhood level in order to promote its use for community health planning, policy development, and advocacy. And I have no financial relationships to disclose related to this work. So one of the main drivers behind this work was the community that this work is happening in the city of New Orleans. Residents as well as stakeholders across multiple sectors that range from community-based organizations to government agencies to nonprofits, really the community writ large was becoming more and more concerned about the prevalence of violence in the city. Just in the way of statistics, in 2014, there were 150 homicides in the city of New Orleans, and one out of three of those homicide victims were under the age of 25. And 17 of those victims were under the age of 18 years of age. So we also notice a trend in terms of youth being both victims as well as perpetrators of the interpersonal violence that is happening or was happening and continues to happen in the city. So as I stated before, the concern around violence was sort of across the entire community. And the city, the local health department, the New Orleans Health Department, in its community health assessment and improvement planning processes, discovered that this was a real priority for the community in the city of New Orleans to understand and begin to address the continuing rising issue of violence, particularly among the youth in the city. Along with the health department's assessment and improvement planning work around violence prevention, the mayor of the city of New Orleans also implemented and put forward a strategic plan called NOLA for Life that was targeted and focused on reducing the murder rate in the city. So both of those sort of government citywide driven efforts both have violence prevention, particularly among youth, as a central focus. And both of these efforts aimed for that by 2020, 95% of the youth in the city of New Orleans will feel safe in their schools and neighborhood. And I will note that there are other goals or performance indicators around these strategies, but this was the one particular indicator and goal relevant for the work that I'll share with you, I'll be talking about with you today. So the framework that we use, and this graphic is probably familiar to everyone in this room, given that we're at a public health conference. But the framework that we use to do this work, LPH, the Louisiana Public Health Institute, partnering with the New Orleans Health Department to guide this work, was this framework of the determinants of health. So we were looking at violence as a public health issue and an issue of focus for public health. And we were particularly interested in those contextual factors and societal factors that impact, influence, correlate, determine that particular health outcome. So I'm not going to spend any time talking through this framework, as I'm assuming most of us are familiar with it, but you can see that largest piece of the pie that sort of explain or are the determinants of health outcomes deal with those societal or social characteristics as well as the total ecology or the actual physical and built environment that individuals live, work, and play in. Another important frame for this work was a risk and resilience framework as well. So we were particularly, as I stated before, interested in exploring those factors in the social or societal, those social characteristics, as well as those ecological characteristics and factors that influence exposure to violence, perpetration of violence, particularly among youth in the cities. So the risk and resilience frameworks that we were working under aimed at exploring ways in which what are the risk factors in those environments, and how do we decrease the presence of those risk factors, and at the same time identify what the protective factors are in those environments as well, and what are the ways to increase those protective factors so that they can buffer the presence of risk, thereby promoting resiliency in the populations and in those neighborhoods. So our work was really around creating an index of neighborhood safety for youth. And the reason why the focus was on creating an index is in the health department's community health assessment and improvement planning process, it was identified that data was a key piece in the puzzle. There was really a need for using data to, one, understand what the issues were around the continued growing trend of violence among youth in the city, and also in order to look at, to be able to identify those specific factors or pieces that we could really address and work on to try to turn the tide on the issues. So they were, the local health department was really interested in identifying data and creating an index with the data in order to first identify what those risk and protective factors are that are meaningful in terms of youth exposure to violence, perpetration of violence, in order to then be able to identify and target resources appropriately. There was also an interest in the ability to monitor and track progress around certain indicators as well, in order to then inform further community planning and strategies around violence prevention as well as reduction in particular neighborhoods. So I included in here this map of the city of New Orleans. I may use Orleans Parish and New Orleans interchangeably because in Louisiana we're divided as parishes rather than counties, but our parishes are comparable. But in Orleans Parish and the city of New Orleans, we're very much a neighborhood-based city. And the divisions of these neighborhoods are based on the city's urban planning districts. So it was very important in this work to be able to identify at the neighborhood level what are those key risk factors, key protective factors that are indicators of violence exposure and perpetration. So we had a mixed methods approach to doing the work to create this index. One piece of the approach involved getting stakeholder input. So we really thought through this as our qualitative piece of the work. And the stakeholder input efforts were twofold in their aim. One of which was to identify those stakeholders who were sort of the data gatekeepers, those individuals who work with data, have data that are relevant to the particular areas of risk and protection at the neighborhood level, at the community level, that are meaningful for this issue around youth exposure to violence. And also we wanted to engage and get input from stakeholders who may not be the data gatekeepers, but who are those individuals who are the providers or who are the experts and who work in these areas of juvenile justice, education, our behavioral health, adolescent health. So those experts, service providers who would be sort of the use cases for this index. So we So one important method that we embarked upon was to get that stakeholder input throughout the process. So in the beginning of identifying what those indicators of risk and protection are, all the way to the end of sharing the findings of the index and getting feedback and input on how do we bring this, how do we disseminate these findings, what's the best source way of communicating its use case to various stakeholders. So we really engage these stakeholder groups throughout the entire process. The other side of the methodological approach was more quantitative in nature, and this was our work around actually narrowing down the specific risk and protective factor indicators and actually gathering, acquiring that data in order to do the data analyses to create the index and indices. So through our work with those stakeholders, particularly the data stakeholders, we identified the five domain areas that are listed here in terms of domains that are important factors or indicators for youth exposure to violence and perpetration of violence. And they were demographic and socioeconomic in nature. So those were factors like poverty level, educational attainment level, unemployment rates, again, at the neighborhood level. Crime was another, was the second domain that was of importance, or that we, that our stakeholder group identified as a key domain area for its relationship to youth exposure and perpetration of violence. And within this domain, we looked at factors like the personal crime rate as well as property crime rate. So we looked at rates of homicide, robbery, and burglary within that domain. Health was another important domain that emerged from our work with stakeholders as well. And the indicators or the factors within the health domain included factors such as the factors that were identified as related to child and adolescent health outcomes. So those included death rates for populations between the ages of 0 and 23 years of age, hospital admission rates for that population, as well as infant mortality rates and low birth rates as well. So the health domain area brought in those factors that may not typically be thought of or associated with youth exposure to violence and perpetration of violence. The physical environment was the next domain of interest, and here the factors included the prevalence of blight in the neighborhoods, as well as the prevalence of alcohol and tobacco retail outlets. So again, we thought that was a particularly unique and important indicator to include in terms of the physical environment, because in the city of New Orleans, and this may be the case for several other urban areas as well, the alcohol and tobacco retail outlets that are not like restaurants or bars or lounges tend to be situated and can also be central locations where opportunities for particular violence to occur. So we identified those alcohol and tobacco retail outlets, like for example, corner stores, as an important factor in the physical environment. And the last domain was factors related to school. And here we specified public school because that had a lot to do with sort of the availability of the data. Whereas we weren't able to get access to private school data or parochial school data. So the school factors that ended up in the index were all data that came from public schools, which we thought was okay because the largest proportion of youth in schools in the city of New Orleans do attend public schools. So the factors included here were like the percent of free and reduced lunch populations, their suspension rates, expulsion rates, and dropout rates. But on sort of the protective factor side, we also examine or included in that domain the number of extracurricular activities that are offered at the schools as well. So importantly, to note at this point is that we created an overall index that included the indicators in all five of these domain areas, but we also created sub-indices for each of these domain areas as well. So just very quickly to kind of talk about how the indices were calculated, as I mentioned before, with input from stakeholders, as well as using extant knowledge around those factors that are associated with youth exposure and perpetration of violence, we narrowed down our choice of variables or factors to include within the overall index, as well as the five sub-indices. And we converted the individual measures to Z-scores in order to standardize each measure in order to then sum them to get our final index score. So just to quickly share with some of the findings from the index is once we created the overall index, we were able to identify both what we term the most and least vulnerable neighborhoods. So the most vulnerable neighborhoods that were those neighborhoods that had a high youth population and also had a high index score. And that high index score meant that they had greater numbers of risk factors present in those neighborhoods. And conversely, those neighborhoods that we identified as the least vulnerable neighborhoods had high youth populations but low index scores on that overall index. So they had fewer risk factors present in those neighborhoods. So I included this map just to kind of illustrate, and this map is sort of an illustration of those two previous tables, to show that those most vulnerable neighborhoods and least vulnerable neighborhoods tend to be clustered together. Now, this may not be surprising to most people, but it was surprising to sort of a lot of our New Orleans stakeholders because we sort of thought of ourselves as this checkerboard city where we have sort of more vulnerable neighborhoods right next to least vulnerable neighborhoods. And what this index showed is that they actually tend to be clustered together. So I'm going to quickly skip to recommendations because I'm now out of time. We identified recommendations to certain stakeholders for how they can use the index and the index findings in their own work, and we identified recommendations to three key groups, those being neighborhood residents and associations, really targeting those groups to use this information for neighborhood-based information gathering, partnership development, action planning, and advocacy work. Policymakers were another important stakeholder for which we're using this information so that they can really think about their approach to violence prevention and intervention from a public health standpoint, in addition to approaching it from a public safety standpoint, and also to advocate for policies that increase and improve resource access to those particularly vulnerable neighborhoods. And finally, funders were an important stakeholder as well that we identified specifically around advancing funding opportunities that will further enable the democratization of data around these issues and in order to support neighborhood-based assessment and action planning work. Thank you.